going to give this one a try, see what we get out of this. It's the news, according to me. Oh, no, we got to start that again. That wasn't loud enough. It's got to be louder than that. It's the news, according to me. That's a little better. Yeah. I kind of like this. Yeah. Okay, well, it is Thursday, February 26th, 7:21 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026. I am your host. This just has a different vibe to it, doesn't it? It's I kind of like this thing, but I don't necessarily like it for the show. That's got some good riffs in there. I don't know. I'm not so sure about it. Okay, well, anyway, we have, we'll see how that goes at the end, because there's going to be an ending thing. You know, you have to pull the ending off as well. See how the ending might be better than the beginning. I kind of like the beginning of the other one, and I like the ending of this one, I think. But we'll see how that will work. I could always combine the two. Could do some cutting and clipping in the DAW, as they call it. Anyway, welcome to the show. My name is Kevin, and I'm your host here on the show. On the news, according to me. But I have, I'm here to tell you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just here for your entertainment. That's all. Everything is pure speculation, and allegations are all just, allegedly allegations. That's what allegation stands for, allegedly allegation. Anyway, we have, I wasn't really going to talk about much of this. I was going to talk about some other stuff today, but by the way, the songs that you're here, that you've heard, the last few songs have been AI generated, believe it or not. Don't get me wrong. You know, I know that there are those purists out there who will stick their nose up and say, well, that's not creative. It's creative talents are being used. I get it. That's fine. I understand that. There's things called, it's called AI slop, where you just get this stuff that kind of looks kind of like something, but it's not. Got all kinds of issues with it, like people with no hands or people with hands coming out of their faces. Well, it's just weird stuff when you ask for it to generate videos or do anything at all. But it's garbage in, garbage out, folks. That's what it is. It's still the same thing with a computer. You put garbage into it. You put a prompt in that's garbage. It's going to be garbage coming out. You have to be a director now. You're directing someone to do something, and you have to be very specific. You have to be very specific. Sometimes you have to talk to this thing like it's a child. You can't take anything for granted. It figures every little word you type into that prompt, it's going to respond to. And what you think might be proper English, it's not proper English. It's going to take it some other meaning to something, or whatever it is. You start to describe something, and if without an example or whatever you're trying to do. What I did with this deal is there's this thing called Suno. It's S-U-N-O. You can create music. And there's also a thing called Music Creator AI. Both of those things are kind of good. There's another one that I need to get, because you can actually go in and make more edits and make changes. And there's some things. I'm developing some songs that some stuff that I've had laying around for years. I've never really finished. And it's hard to get it to the, across the goal line. But when you hear it in its finished state, it is encouraging and inspiring. And it almost makes you cry, because it's like that's where my heart was in the middle of all that. When I was trying to write this song, you're sitting there playing your guitar and you're kind of getting inspired, and you record a little something and it's kind of a snippet and you kind of want to do something with that later, but you never do. This is taking it over the goal line and it's getting it done. And it would not be happening otherwise. Stuff would be sitting on the shelf until I die. And I guess part of me is realizing as I get older, everybody's, oh, Carl, you're going to lose your song. That thing's worth $1 million. That could be a hit song. Well, maybe it is a hit song. I don't care. That's great if it is. That's good. Hopefully that's what happens. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But hopefully it hits. It's not that it's a hit song, but maybe it hits someone who needs to hear the message. Hopefully it connects with someone. Sitting on a shelf, it's never going to do that. It's just going to go away when I go away, and nobody will ever do anything with it. And it's one of those things that, getting it done is really, I think, more important in some ways sometimes than, I've got a lot of stuff sitting around here in my house that is probably going to go to the junkyard when I pass away. And I can either take it there now or I can take it later. Some of the things that, somebody else has to deal with it later, I guess. Getting kind of philosophical here. We have but the thing is, what I did with this program, it still involves creativity. I can't even say creativity. It still involves creativity. I haven't had enough chai yet. It's early. This is an early show for me. 7:27 a.m. It's pretty early. It still involves creativity. You still have to have some form of ability to put something into it, to understand it, to be able to get it to put anything decent out. Now, in this particular case, I did a humming thing. I just sang an instrumental. I didn't have any words. I just do something like that. Something like that. And then it comes up with, and you put that in there, and that's what you want, kind of the energy, the pace, the level of the song, the tone, the key, whatever you want to put in. You put all that stuff in there. And you talk about, I want the beginning to start like this, I want this to do that. Blah, 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 blah. Now, it's not developing my skills in playing guitar or drums or anything else or piano or whatever it is I'm trying to do. What it does, this is what I'm finding. I end up playing more because I'm trying to imitate, I'm trying to learn the song. It's like I just wrote the song, now I'm trying to learn it. So it's a weird concept. The song is basically done. And I don't even know the song yet. It's kind of one of those weird things. Now, some of these things that I've put out there, there was one called The Crushing that it's a big long thing. I've got all these notes of all these words that I've put together for over time. You can put this stuff into AI. You can say, here's a collection of words that I'm trying to put this together into a song, phrases that make sense for a song frame. So that it'll flow well, sound good. I need a couple of verses and a chorus and a bridge out of this. And it needs to sound like, and your whole prompt needs to do something. This is what I want to do. Here's the words. Create for me a prompt. You ask the AI to create you a prompt that you can plug into a particular software program or whatever, Suno or whatever it is. And you say, give me a prompt that will give me this feel, this vibe, this thing. It will sound like whatever, Matt Redman or whatever. In terms of, the style of what it's going to be like, acoustic drums, whatever you want out of this whole thing. You go in with all this description, you can, and then it will give you various different prompts. If you want it to sound like this, do this. If you want it to sound like that, do that. To use this prompt, use these styles for whatever, copy and paste this. It gives you the exact what you're looking for to get the best of what you want out of it. You take the lyrics, you take them over there and you post them in. It provides you with lyrics that are in a framework, even with song sheets, with chords on them. And you just plug that into your program. It comes out with the song. Somebody else is singing it, of course. And then it gives you a couple different variations of it. You can pick one. You can do it again. You can do it 12 times if you want to. And until you get something that really hits, it really, really sounds good, the way you want it to sound. And then you can take that, now I'll get this music creator thing, you can put your own voice in there, and it will swap out the voice that the AI, now there's a way of doing it in Suno as well now, but it's a little bit more of a workaround, it's a little bit tricky, I still haven't figured it out yet, which would make it better, because when they swap voices, sometimes you lose some of the integrity. It's bad enough integrity already. The vocals aren't that great. They have kind of a, it almost has a, uh, auto-tune kind of a sound to it. If you've listened to it very closely, you can tell it's not a real human voice. However, you can remove the vocals in Music Creator as well. So then you can dub over. So now you've got the music. You can put your own voice in there over the top of that, which is you can just play it and record it. You'd have to have a recording equipment and all that stuff to do that with. But you can actually sing the song once you know it, once you learn it, because what it spits out is not exactly how you wrote it. Pretty fascinating stuff. But I kid you not, it literally gets you going. It gets the momentum. It keeps the thing flowing. And it just, you don't just sit on a song and lose it. It becomes something that's really, I shared a couple of them with a couple of friends of mine, and one of them was just blown away. He's that sounds like something that came out of Nashville. What is this? This is how it sounds like it came from a producer from somewhere. I mean, it does. It sounds just like it came. It sounds like something you'd hear on the radio, or something you hear on a CD or an EP or something. It's just, it's pretty amazing. It has me inspired enough that I think I'm going to put a lot of my collections on something and maybe try to just start giving it away. I'll put it on a CD, put it on whatever, on EP, whatever I'm doing. I might get back into the whole. At one time, I had a. I was posting songs on iTunes and doing that kind of stuff. And I may go back to that again. I don't know. We'll see how that all works out. I don't know. Something for me to do in my retirement years. I went in here in a couple of years. I probably, of course, by then, we'll just all be living in the Matrix. Anyway, onward and upward. The one thing I want to talk about today has nothing to do with any of this. Thunder Thursday, the thunder this week has been the presidential State of the Union address. I finally had a chance to kind of soak into some of it. I didn't listen to it the night it happened, believe it or not. I was home doing nothing. I just decided to stay away from it. It's for various reasons. I was tired for one, and I just didn't want to. I just need a break sometimes from this stuff, and so I let it go. But I have had a chance to listen to it and also listen to some of the punditry around it. The opines, as you call it. As some people call it. We have interesting things happening with it. And it's been the hockey team, the U.S. hockey team got one gold. Of course, the memes against the Canadians and the Russians have been brutal. It's just been brutal and funny. They are, brutally funny, I guess, for funny on our side. It's funny for us to laugh at it. They're feeling pretty low, I think, right now. The Canucks are not doing so well with the hockey thing. And our team did an excellent job. Congratulations to all of you. I'm sure we have lots of listeners from the team. Probably the whole team listens to this show. Anyway, so the whole thing, the whole AI thing, just to wrap that up, put it in a bow, I don't have a problem with it. It's like a tool. It's like any other tool. Like I've always said, it's like any other tool. You have to respect it. You have to be very careful with it. You don't want to just go crazy with certain things, but it is a tool that I think will help to enhance our state of living if we're careful with it. And it's, again, if you're all worried about somebody stealing your stuff, or fine. What's going to happen with your stuff if they don't steal it? Is it worth it? Here's the thing: is it worth stealing? That's the question. I guess you have to ask yourself.
I'm also concerned about somebody stealing my song.
I know a guy who thinks his song. He's got a collection of songs, and he thinks it's worth $1 million.
Oh, it's intellectual property. It's worth $1 million. Or this is worth at least $100,000.
I think he said initially, this one song is worth at least $100,000. Oh, well, it's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. I don't know that anybody's willing to pay $100,000 for it. Maybe you can get 100,000 people to pay a dollar for it. I don't know. I don't think so. You'd be willing to pay that much, I guess. I don't know. Would you pay that much for any of my songs?
Well, no. Of course not.
So why do you think somebody would, just, if your song is worth $100,000, then someone would walk up and pay you $50 and double their money. But it ain't worth $100,000 because it's going nowhere. Because you got nothing. Because you got, you got no way. You can put it on iTunes and think it's out there. And guess what? It's out there with about 300 million other people's songs. It's just... Yeah, take ourselves a little too seriously sometimes, I think. Now, there you want to be careful and be secure and be all those things. But it's, at some point, you just got to let it go and you got to, you know, get your life over with and get move on with all this stuff, you know, and just because what's going to happen 100 years from now, I don't know, people aren't going to know who you are anyway. You'll pretty much know anybody who's alive today is probably not going to be alive in 100 years. So just, and I doubt they're going to remember your song. I doubt it. And it's possible. There's some songs that have been around more than 100 years. If you wrote one of those, that's great. But those people are dead, too. They're not getting any royalties from any of that. Anyway, but the message, maybe, the person who wrote Amazing Grace, not getting any royalties from that, are they? But there's some rewards in heaven for that, probably. Because maybe God has been able to use that song to bring some more people into the kingdom. That's part of your reward. There you go. And it's, you know, if you never would have gotten off the shelf, it wouldn't be one of the number one songs in the world. My chai is cold and the show is half over. I want to talk about the SCOTUS. I got to get on with this. I got to get off this whole other rant that I'm on here. The left's I guess what I want to talk about more than anything is the reaction from the left. By the way, my cup has sidetracked. This is the Sidetrack podcast. I should call it the Sidetrack because everything's I get sidetracked by everything. Maybe I should start a podcast called the Sidetrack. The Sidetrack Bunny Rabbit, Bunny Trail, the Sidetrack Bunny Rail Show. It's Bunny Rail, Bunny Trail. A Sidetrack Bunny Trail Rabbit Hole Show. I have chai in my cup with Cinnabon Creamer. In my backup cup is some of the finest. I'll be taking this along with me later on as I go to, when I go to work today. I made a gallon of sweet tea, sweet peach tea. It's pretty good. It's not the finest I've ever made, but it's pretty good. It's not quite as sweet as it needs to be. I made it a little less sweet this time. And sometimes you just need that little extra sweetness, but it's good. I'm sure it's better for me because it's not quite so sweet, but it does taste good. And later on today, I'll be taking a thermos full of it with me as I go to work. Thermos, which I cleaned out very well, by the way. I bought one of those wheel polishing deals. It's a kind of a car detailing thing, and you put it on the end of a drill, and it's got all kinds of pads for polishing and doing scrubbing and all kinds of stuff. It's got this little thing with a brush. It's like a little kind of a rounded brush type thing you put on the end of the drill with an extension. Put that down on the bottom of my thermos and just scoured it out really good. Because the tea leaves a little bit of a residue. It's like a stain, and that stain is actually, it contains or it has all the stuff that's needed for building what's called it's not E. coli. Coliform bacteria. Coliform bacteria is not really that bad for you. It lives in your body all the time, but if you get too much of it in your gut, it can cause some issues with your digestive system. And tea can form that. When you get that tea that kind of has a funky taste to it, that's what's happening there. The coliform bacteria is blooming. If you want to call it that, and it's kind of a weird flavor. I can taste it right away. Some people can't. In a lot of times you get it in restaurants because they do not scour their tea containers. Now. Chick-fil-A, however they do it, I don't know how they keep their tea container clean, but they absolutely do something because it's clean. It's very good. They use very good water. They use the whole thing. It's very good tea. Culver's does the same thing. They have very good tea. However, the problem is it's a different kind. It's a different type of tea. Yeah, it's not really my favorite flavor of tea, but the that's the key to anything. If you have a thermos that has any kind of residue in it, that residue is going to leach out into your. It's going to cause problems with any other drink you put in there. Even if it's just water, it can actually start to leach over time, and it develops a microbiome in and of itself. So stainless steel, especially, you can clean it very well. You scour it with a brush like that. So I put my drill in there, ran it down in there, got it all polished up, and now it's going to be nice. It lasts longer. The freshness will last longer. Anyway, all right, enough of that. We have the SCOTUS State of the Union address. Was on the heels of the hockey team winning the gold, and the left is just beside themselves. The memes that are coming out from this whole thing, and the way that the left responded to the speech and everything else that was going on, it was very telling. Now I'm not going to play any clips, but I was thinking about doing that, but I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to just talk about some things that have happened, maybe read some quotes. Very, very interesting stuff. But first let me, I don't even know where to begin with all this. By the way, there's not going to be any AI callers today. We had a little weird experience with that yesterday, didn't we? Those of you who listened to yesterday's show, there's something weird going on there, the way they all respond. I think I played two or three of them, and they all responded the same way. This whole thing about I can't really, you know, get involved with this conversation because it involves, you know, conjecture. And I just said something about, you know, telling the truth and conspiracy theories and all this stuff. All of a sudden it starts saying, well, I can't get involved with this conspiracy theory. Is that all you heard? You didn't really hear the context of what I was saying. Of course, they're always the ones about context. Anyway, something weird happened there. I don't know what triggered the response from them. I don't know if it was something I said or something was programmed the way it was done. I don't know. Anyway. First of all, before the speech, let's talk about before the speech. So this person was running around. My wife sent me this thing. These people were running around campus. I think it was a campus or maybe just on the street, asking people what they thought of the presidential State of the Union address. And majority of them responded and basically just said, I think it was the day before, and before the speech, and they basically all of them said, "Oh, it was terrible." Some of them said, "I turned it off. I couldn't listen to it. I had to turn it off." Just this, all these vitriol reactions to it, and it's just, "Oh, it was terrible. I didn't want to listen to it." This is how informed these people are. The speech hadn't happened yet, and they already have a reaction to it. This tells you something about the state of your mind. At this point, you have no, your cognitive ability at that point in terms of functioning as a normal human being is gone because there's too much rage in your brain to honestly evaluate anything at this point. That's what's kind of, it's disgusting. It's sad, really. I guess it's not really disgusting as much as it is sad. I want to feel bad for you, but at the same time, you bring that stuff on your own. We bring that stuff on ourselves when we do that kind of thing. We have a predetermined expectation of how things are going to go, and we assume that's the way it's going to be, and we live in our own little reality. And it can be very... Anyway, so the where do I go? So again, before the speech, the president, of course, he finds out that the U.S. hockey team has won. He calls the locker while they're in their locker room. At just after the event, they just won. They're all celebrating like crazy. And president calls. I guess Cash Patel was there. Why he's there, I don't know. But then again, you know, James Comey would be the first one to come out and say, why is he involved in the kind of wins? He shouldn't be over there. He's a director. Where has James Comey been, by the way? Is he dating? What's her name now? What's not Britney Spears. Who's the big person? What's her name? I don't know. Dating a football player or whatever. They're getting married. I don't know what's going on. Taylor Swift. I guess she. It came out because he came out with his big, it's no different than him going out on TikTok and doing this whole thing, gushing over her, pretending like he's, we go to all her stuff and I'm a Swiftie. Oh, my daughter and I, it's like a really bad psyop when he does that kind of stuff. He's trying to win over soccer moms it's just weird to come out and make those kinds of statements, especially in the way he does it. He's got this where he just stands in front of the camera and does this little thing where he addresses the camera. And it's very bizarre. He's a very strange individual. So why is Patel? But I don't know why Patel's over there. I was just having fun. Maybe, I don't know. He got access to the thing. Maybe somehow he got in there. I don't know what that was going on with that. At least your security clearance gets you in anywhere. But he's over there in the locker room, and they're all laughing it up and they're celebrating. They won. They're celebrating. Who cares about politics at that point? President calls. He's celebrating with them. Hey, I want to invite you to the State of the Union. We're going to bring you over here, and we're going to bring you over to the State of the Union. I'm going to make sure they got a military jet to fly them to Washington D.C. so they can meet the president, shake hands with the president, and celebrate there as well. And so the nation can celebrate this victory. It's about the nation. It's not about Donald Trump. Of course, I get it. The left thinks that just Donald Trump trying to sweep in and take credit for it. Whatever. Just get over that, okay? Let's just celebrate what they've done. But they're disgusted by the team. They were all celebrating when they won. Now all of a sudden, and they love soccer. They love hockey. They probably love soccer too. But they get in this whole thing about just, and all of a sudden they're disgusted by the team. This is disgusting behavior. They should be ashamed of themselves. Oh, why are they laughing it up and partying with the president? And now they're being used by the president as a pawn. They're being used as a, No, that's not at all what's going on. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you people? It's one of those things. Anyway, so. The president, during the speech, makes an announcement, invites the team to come in. He gives them a moment on the floor to enter in and be celebrated by the entire Congress. Guess who doesn't stand up? Now, you have to understand something about the POTUS State of the Union address. It is published. It is printed. He's reading it, basically. He does a lot of ad lib. So there's a lot of things he'll say that aren't on the script. However, most of it is. And so they get a copy of it prior to the speech. So they have a chance to read it. Now most of them probably can't read. I don't know if Ilhan Omar can read it all, but I'm sure that some of the squad can't read, but they have people read it to them or read it for them. They'll have somebody read it and tell them what it says. Because they don't have the time to read it by themselves. They're too busy shopping and stuck moving their money around. So they do this stuff where they all get together.
He's going to say this, and we're going to make sure nobody stands up during that. Okay, this, you follow the rules here. We got to be lockstep in this. Because the Democrat Party, the representatives that are elected in the Democrat Party, guess who they represent? The Democrat Party. They don't represent Democrats. They don't represent the people at all. They tell you how you're going to respond and react, and what they tell you what you want, what group you belong to. And then they tell you how you're going to respond. This is the way, from the top down, this is the way it works. The Democrat representative leadership does not represent you, does not represent your state, does not represent anything about your district or the people that are in your district. They represent the Democrat Party and its agenda. And it has an agenda. And it has nothing to do with you as an individual, unless you're part of a group that they're using to leverage themselves back into power, because the power that they get comes along with a lot of money. Not pay, not their salary. It's the kind of pay that comes from someone like Ilhan Omar all of a sudden becoming worth $30 million. How in the world do you come here from Somalia and you're worth almost nothing? You have a negative balance, and then all of a sudden you get into Congress and now you're worth $30 million. How does that happen? How is Nancy Pelosi worth, her family, her income, her household, whatever, is worth over $300 million? I don't know what it is now. That's just what she made. This is why the American people are just so cynical about it. They just don't care. They're beyond outrage now. They just don't care. It goes into a state of apathy. This is the way it is in Russia. This is the way it is in the Soviet Union. People don't vote because they know it doesn't matter. They don't care because it just doesn't matter whether you vote or not. And that's kind of where they want to get you here in this country. They want to get you to the point where it doesn't matter. Voting doesn't matter. So people get cynical about voting. But it's kind of a weird mix of things. So we have that all goes on. So then we come to the State of the Union itself, and Trump is out there and he's talking and he's doing his thing and he just starts slicing and dicing. He goes for broke. This, in my opinion, this was unlike any other State of the Union that I've ever really heard. For some of the things that have been said, he's calling out the Democrats right where they are. One of the things he said, just blatantly in your face, anybody who's watching this thing, and he actually made, it was a very positive response. Before he went into the speech, I think it was like a 51%, he had like a 51% approval, I think, of his policies or whatever. And by the time he got out of it, the polls, just within that speech, the polls were up 13% in favor. There was over 60% in favor of his policies. Now, keep in mind, the same people polled, basically. And of course, they're stumbling all over themselves trying to explain, well, most of the people who watch the speech are all supporters of Trump. Therefore, you know, this is not demographically accurate with you know, this is whatever it the speech made some, it didn't go backwards, it's going forwards, and they couldn't admit that. They had to admit it to an extent, but they didn't want to talk about it. Very bizarre. So in the meantime, that's what we have going on there. So we have I guess I can get rid of that. I didn't realize I had that up. Here we go. But during the speech, one of the things he said, if you think that it's appropriate that you need to be, basically, if you don't agree that you need to be a U.S. citizen to vote. Oh no! This, I get that wrong. He does do that. He does talk about that. I think the main one he said, but the main job of the government is to take care of the people who are citizens, to put U.S. citizens, the priority of U.S. citizens over the priority of illegal immigrants. So if you agree with that statement, it's the statement he made, he said, I want you to stand if you agree with that statement. It was a practical, normal statement that anybody should agree to, that U.S. citizens should take precedent. They should be
they should be considered first above illegal immigrants. You break into this country, you shouldn't be considered to be a on the level of everybody else. And none of the Democrats stood up, none that I know of. I guess about half of them didn't show up for the SCOTUS, for the SCOTUS speech, which is just stupid. It's childish. It's just childish. They went off and had this little event of their own. Boy, I probably will play some audio of this maybe tomorrow. They had their own little thing, and they talk about these dancing frogs in Oregon or wherever they did. It's Portland. Is it Portland? The frogs that are at the frog patrol or whatever it is on the street. We're thankful for the frog patrol. And they had one of the guys, the head frog guy in a frog suit, was up talking about something, I guess. And it was embarrassing. How do you? And this is what they say is better than the president's speech, the State of the Union. There's ridiculous stuff that was going on the left. And I don't get it. I do not get it. How they think that this is going to win over hearts and minds in the American people. I'm sorry, you're off the rails. This is a derangement syndrome gone run amok. They don't even realize how ridiculous they look, how insane they've become, thinking that they're doing the right thing. That somehow they're in the mainstream. That they, have any common sense whatsoever with this whole thing. It just blows my mind. And I'm all for people, being able to protest and do whatever it is they got to do. That's fine. I don't get it. I don't understand how they think that they're making any progress. What are the frogs doing? I would look at that and say, what exactly? What kind of message are you getting? How effective is your marketing plan there? And getting across to the normal, average, everyday American person. Now, maybe everybody in Portland understands that the guy in the frog suit. I don't know. I hope not. If that's the case, then Portland's lost. Which maybe Minneapolis is lost. Maybe some of these towns just can't be, no redemption for them. Maybe, I don't know. All I can tell you is it's just wacky, crazy stuff. And it's not normal behavior. They're celebrating their own insanity. I don't know what else to say about it. Anyway, enough about that. Again, I do want to remind all of you, I have a phone number now. I have the phone number here in front of me, if it comes up. I don't see it. There it is. I have a phone number now. 574-651-7685. I believe it still works. It worked the other day. I haven't tested it today. I do get some messages on there. Most of it's spam. But I have, you can text or call that number. It's a hotline. You can leave a message, or you can do whatever you want to do. You can send a text, you can send a message, or you can go to google.com/voice and you can type it in there. I think it works there as well. There might be an extension. I don't know how. I probably should just pay the dollar a month or whatever it is. Whatever. Got to do to make that thing work. Anyway, the point is you can call that number. Well, that's got the wrong number right there. That's also got the wrong. I put the wrong number in the data right there. That's not even a good number. Let's move that and change that number. I found a place where there's a number posted that's not the right. I don't know what that number even is. There we go. All right. We'll save that. Okay, now it's all working properly. Now, we have tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's Financial Friday. We're going to be talking about a little bit more about some other aspects of the global economy. I think we'll talk a little bit about that. Again, I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not an economic expert of any kind. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of the global economy, what the effect of the tariffs on the global economy, some of the things that are happening right now globally with war possibly in Iran, the Venezuela thing, the war between, the war with Israel and Hamas has not necessarily gone away. There's still some things happening there. There's also the issue of, but you don't hear about it anymore. You don't hear about, nobody's chanting in the streets about it anymore. But we have the war in Russia, Ukraine, that situation. There's still some very heavy fighting going on. Ukraine is actually starting to send some missiles and some stuff deep into the heart of Russia, getting at some of their manufacturing areas, which just continues to, what about your opinion on that? Anyway. Look, Ukraine's going to lose something in this. They're either going to lose it all or they're going to lose something. And they're at the point where they're not going to get everything back the way they wanted it to, the way it was before. That's just not going to happen. And they've, all the aid that has gone into the whole thing it's just at some point you got to cut your losses and just say this is okay enough. What do we got to do here? It's just to own up to the fact that you've lost something. It's either lose everything or lose something. And I don't think they're prepared to lose everything. But it's just weird stuff going on there. And then we have, I think it's drawing to a close. I think we're very close to a solution there. I think the administration and what's happening with negotiations is very close to something happening. And of course, there's other conflicts around the world that are issues as well. And then you got the fraud in Minneapolis. That's actually kind of a global thing. When you have $1 billion or more than $1 billion fraud going, Trump, one of the statements Trump made last at his speech the other night, he said something about, we can balance the budget if we just get a hold of the fraud. We just did, because that's how much fraud there is. We can actually, and there's no question, we're losing, there's unmistakable numbers of amounts of money that are just gushing out of the purse. When you stop and think about how much $1 billion is, a billion is 1,000 million. When you think about $1 trillion and how many trillions of dollars we are in debt, then you start taking, and $1 trillion is 1,000 billion. How long do we have to be here before we're talking about $1 million over every single head, every household at least in the nation? They're depending on inflation to wipe that down. If you devalue the dollar, continue to devalue the dollar, then $1 billion is only now it's only $500 million. It's in today's money. That's kind of thing. It's, if you were making $3 an hour 30 years ago, and now you're making $6, but a gallon of gas was $1 a gallon then, and it's $2 now, then you haven't made any money. The cost of living is still the same. And that's where they keep everybody. They keep everybody in this trap of thinking, oh, I'm making more money now. I'm making more money now than I've ever made in my life. I mean, as far as my general income, is at a higher base than it has ever been. And I don't feel like it's necessarily over the top. You don't feel it. It's not been, back in the early 2000s when I was making half what I'm making now, I felt more prosperous then than I do now. I could pull up into a Wendy's and say, I want a double, at that time it was a number two, plain with cheese. Now you can't, it's something else now. You have to order a number one double plain with cheese and a large sweet tea or whatever, some kind of large drink. It was always 525 in Chicago. What a little place I would go, 525, 26, whatever it was. About $5 for that. It's over $10 now. Well over $10. But I mean, my wages are twice as much. But so is everything. So is the cost of living. Am I making any more? Not really. In the balance of the end of the day, no, I'm not making any more money. My money's not worth as much today as it, my dollar is not worth as much today as it was. It's not the buying power that it used to have. Plain and simple. Why is that? It's because there's more dollars in circulation. It's not because the price of everything just has to naturally go up. It doesn't just do that. It does that because there's more dollars in the world, and it's easier to get that dollar. Therefore, too much cash for, you know, not enough goods. It's just somebody else is willing to pay more for it, so that's what they're going to pay. And the cost of that trickles down. Really, what we need is I'll talk about this more tomorrow, but the balance of, you know, we're talking about affordability. The thing that needs to be more affordable is to do business. If businesses find it more affordable to do business, then the prices of everything will go down because they can compete, and competition will drive that. The prices going up are only going to drive other places out of business because they're going to lose their customer base if they have to charge too much, and that's just the way things work. So there you go. That's my theory on how that all works. But in the meantime, I'm going to call it a show. We have tomorrow, like I was saying, we're going to talk more about the whole economics of everything globally and how all that. That's why that's not working. I was pushing buttons over here. I wasn't getting any kind of response, but now I've got it figured out to push the right button at the right time. Anyway. I'll take you out with the music here. We got, we're playing. I don't know how long this is going to last. I think it's about a 2-minute long thing. So tomorrow we got more about the global economy, everything that's affecting it. We might even talk about AI a little bit. We might even have the AI. No, we're not going to have the AI people. I don't think we're going to. I don't know what we're going to do with that. I'll be working on some of that stuff. Saturday I'm going to be working on a lot of projects. I'll be in Waterloo, Iowa tomorrow night. Tomorrow night and the next night. So I don't know. Monday's show is going to be kind of back at home. We'll be back home here again. So this will carry you out to the end with a little wild and crazy. I'm not sure I like this vibe for the show. Like, I like the song. I just don't like this song. But God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. And I will, tomorrow, I will see ya if this thing ever ends. I'll see ya. I guess it just ends like that.